Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living gridlocked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got bunnies and bricks swimming in the sea.
What's up, everybody? It's Owen. Welcome to the podcast. Today, I had somebody who I've been wanting to have on for a little while. It's Ray Ambler. If you don't know Ray, Ray is a photographer in South County in Arroyo Grande area, and he is the guy who shoots all the Cal Poly games. You see him there way more than you see me there shooting games, and so I wanted to sit down with him. He was somebody who, when I started taking pictures, was somebody who was super cool to me. I learned a lot from him, still learning a lot from him, and I think you'll see that in the podcast. Again, it's Ray Ambler on the Fansmanship.com podcast. Welcome to Fansmanship.com podcast. I think it's like episode 105. Today, we have somebody on it who I've been actually talking to him about getting on for a couple of months now, I want to say, trying to find a time. But the fall is not the best time for to try to find Ray Ambler for a minute or two. Cal Poly photographer, AG photographer, photographer for whatever is happening in the South County and SLO. Ray, how's it going?
It's going well.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting being interviewed. I'm never on this side of the camera.
You're never on this side of the camera or this side of the mic? Yeah, exactly. It's hopefully it's an okay experience for you when we get done. I wanted to have you on because I'm always interested in people who are in and around sports, especially at Cal Poly, but also other places, and people who put time in you know, different places, and who put time in youth sports too. And I think if there's somebody who is kind of along with coaches and parents, people who put time in are photographers too.
Put my time in.
That's right. That's right. So, so you've been taking pictures like if you want to know who Ray is, he's the guy at the every Cal Poly game with a huge black lens, that he's taking pictures with. He's at the basketball games, the soccer games, the football games, the baseball games, probably he goes and shoots track and field from time to time. Probably he shoots tennis from time to time.
Tennis is
I'll just hold it. Yeah, no problem.
Tennis is, you know, not staged, but we go shoot it from in the start of the season because I'm not able to always make it to their home games. Track, you have one or two home games. Yeah, so I go and shoot there all day. Everything else, I'm there though. You know, yeah. If there's not something going on in AG or around the five cities, I'm usually at Cal Poly. I truly enjoy the student athletes, you know, watched quite a few of them grow up, you know.
So how'd you get started, like, taking pictures in general? You're a graphic designer, right? By trade. So is that kind of how you got into it? What's the backstory there? You're from AG.
From AG. Right. Class of 86, Arroyo Grande High School. I was dating myself. I'm a graphic designer. I was doing layout for a motorcycle magazine up in Paso. And the photographers were handing me, you know, not really good photos of the bikes that we were featuring. So I checked out a camera, you know, right as the Nikon D100 came out, and took it home. At the same time, my five years old, was start playing T-ball. So, yes, I was the coach, and nobody else stepped up. So, I coached and grabbed a couple friends, and we took on a team. So I checked out this camera and just started shooting my T-ball players, you know. Kind of got good, read and for settings, and realized what I was doing. And the more I shot, the more parents wanted to buy, and ended up buying my own camera.
It was
just interesting.
So, like you said, you read up on it, and like, but the time that it takes, I think, to hone understanding of photography, big picture. Not that I even have anything close to it at this point, you know. But like, there's a big amount of time to be able to understand how a good picture gets taken, what's, you know, how to shoot the way that you shoot.
My thing was, I wanted to see the threads on the ball. I wanted to stop the ball.
You wanted to stop motion, right?
Right. Yeah. And for the first couple months, you know, T-balls, 3-4 months,
yeah,
I couldn't see the threads. It was blurry. So reading about settings, film ISO and f-stops, and finally, you know, hey, well, my lens doesn't go to what they're telling me to go. Oh, that lens is $2,000. My camera will hold it, but, you know.
How can I make enough money or justify getting it, right?
Well, first of all, I just thought it was the camera. I didn't, you know, it took me a couple months to read.
Yeah, likewise.
That was the lens. Oh, yeah, no, I remember meeting you. We were both beginners. I basically watched you do the same thing. So it's just, it's getting to know the equipment and to know how to use that equipment.
Yeah, and over time, you know, I tell people, I was actually last night I was explaining to somebody who was like, their question was, what camera should I get? I want to start taking nice pictures. And my answer was like, get a camera that you can afford, and then and then like start taking pictures, because you're going to want to do something. It's the frustrating and wonderful part about, I think, learning how to do this is like, learning how to take pictures is like, you're going to want to take pictures of something. You said you're going to want to stop the threads.
See the threads on the ball.
And you're going to want to see the threads on the ball, and you're going to not be able to do it.
Right.
And you're going to have to figure it out. And you don't learn it unless you have those problems, unless you have this problem to solve.
Trial and error.
And you go through it and you solve it.
Right. So, I mean, there was a website called Nikonians, because I'm a Nikon guy. That's what the...
Was that... Now, what was the decision-making there? Was it a camera that was more recommended? Was it just that was what you had experience with when you checked the one out? What was your decision
making?
The magazine
used, because that was the first set of digital cameras that came out. I remember the magazine going and buying the D100 from Sammy's Camera in Santa Barbara. And all of us, you know, the photographers, the writers, and we were all oohing and aahing as he set it on the table. Here's our next thing.
The digital SLR. Okay.
You know, the 512 megabyte.
Yeah.
Memory card. I think I have a 12 gig. It's
probably like a 1 megapixel or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah.
You know, at the
everybody's like, a megapixel. I could blow that up so big. Like,
my dad had the old Mavica, Sony Mavica, that took the 1.44 floppy.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know, I've been around a little bit of digital cameras and. Yeah. Whoops.
That's okay. That's okay.
We're using Mission Prep Office right now.
So you'd been around cameras long enough, and you just kind of like, that was what you went with, was the Nikon.
Well, that's what was there, and you know, that's kind of what
It's funny, because once you start with a one way or the other, if you go Nikon or Canon, like you don't see a lot of people, it's not easy to switch from one to the other once you start with one of them, even if you wanted to. And a lot of people get so used to how one camera functions that it would be hard to switch.
There's things I like about Nikon. Canon, I love the big dial on the back. I watch you guys, you being a Canon guy, roll through that dial and flip through your pictures where I'm on a button, you know, I'm flipping through.
But and you got to like hold the button down maybe and it'll go fast, but it's hard to get that exactly right.
But there's things, I have a friend that let me borrow her Canon with her 400 millimeter. This is before I got my 300 millimeter lens.
Uh-huh.
And I liked some features about it, but it was still, it's driving automatic and a stick shift, you know. You get used to one way, and you start looking for that one way. I rented the next model up a couple weeks back when I had to send my camera up, and the functions on that are different.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I see in my eyes, I see the greens greener in a Nikon, and they're a little flatter in the Canon. But there's things that it just seems Canon focuses faster.
Really?
I borrowed that one.
Uh-huh.
It seemed like it focused a little faster.
Interesting.
But it could be just me not used to it and thinking it's focusing
faster. Right, or it could have been like a specific setting on that particular whatever. Yeah,
it was a fixed 400 millimeters. So
That's
the zooming
beautiful.
Was me moving in and out.
Wow. So that's kind of how you got started with shooting some youth sports in AG. And your son's what, like 15 now?
14.
14, so that you said he was 6 or 5 then?
5.
So it's, you know, you're coming up on like 10 years of having done it now, and probably going through just, can you picture, I mean, you probably have a number of how many like times your frame, you know, your shutter's gone up and down.
I've rolled through, you know, I've reached the maximum on my D700.
Okay. So you reached the maximum amount of, and essentially you break the shutter, and then you have to send it in and get a new shutter put on.
That's why I have two of them.
Right. Exactly. So as you kind of went through it, you know, I see what you do out there, in terms of
the amount of work that you do, or the amount of games that you're at, the number of games that you're at. And that's, I think that's the part that people, you know, they can look at a picture you took or photos from a game and say, oh yeah, I really like that one. I really like that one. But to, at the end of a school year, for instance, at the end of, from between fall and spring, and look at the total number of games that you shoot, or the number of, you know, galleries that you post on your website. There had to be a point with that where you had to kind of have some level of faith, right? Like where you had to say, you know what, I'm going to go to all these games because I kind of like to, and I kind of like these people, and I'm going to kind of have faith that these people are going to like support me as well in terms of doing that, right?
You're still rolling the dice. You roll the dice because, you know, I make a little bit of money, not a lot. It basically supports my digital camera habit. But going and photographing the games is my out, my way out of my office. Otherwise, I'll be there all day.
Your outlet to have, and it's fun, and it's like a different, yeah.
It's fresh air, you know. I meet a lot of people. I've met some wonderful families, just incredible families from the Cal Poly, from everybody. And I get support. I truly get support from everybody. But this is my way out of the office. This is my exercise. I'm walking the fields, walking the baseline, walking...
pacing back and forth, even in basketball, you know, going back and forth to the different baselines. I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, as much as you can, I mean,
well,
you're moving.
Well, as much as the court side will allow you to move. I mean, there's nowadays sometimes where we're, you know, confined to our square.
Yeah, hoops. When the wintertime is not exactly the time to be moving a lot.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and so... So, I mean, like you said, I mean, part of what makes it fun is what you get to do, who you get to meet. I think, you know, I think I started, we started Fansmanship for a very similar reason that, yeah, you know, it's a way for us to get out. It's a way for us to, you know, find a way to channel this kind of writing habit or writing hobby. And for me, it turned into, hey, our website kind of looks boring if there's no pictures, and right, how are we going to get some pictures on this thing?
I remember and you walked up with that camera.
That I didn't, and it was the first one I brought was a Nikon, and it was my friend's dad's, and I had no clue about it. It had because it was on a automatic setting, maybe even on a manual setting, right, it had like a little light that would come on, and so I got in trouble a few times because it had a metering light that I couldn't figure out how to get off.
I remember, and there's no flash photography.
And there's no flash, even on, and in anywhere. I got yelled at San Jose State one time too when I went up with the basketball team for a game. I had to put it into a different mode because I couldn't figure out how to get this damn metering light off. And so, like, you know, I kind of fast forward now, you know, a few years later, and you know, it's kind of funny to think about, but unless you have those issues,
right,
unless you go through that kind
you
of,
you don't have to figure it out.
You don't have, yeah. Yeah. There's no way to just kind of snap your fingers and know, I guess, is my point. It's got to be, the time's got to be put in, right?
I was shooting Nipomo gym one night, volleyball, and I had Nipomo coach yell at me, "You need to turn that flash off. Hey, it's not me. It's your guy that's over in that corner with these strobes set up in the corners. Oh, it's bothering my players. Dude, it's not me. I know. And
my camera's not hooked up right to that, right? And it's hard for people to understand.
And
some
I've
of those
talked to
too.
A couple of the football players, you know, from AG and yeah. They don't like the flash on right. those the sidelines. Yeah, the lighting sucks in stadiums.
High school stadiums.
Yeah.
Especially.
Yeah. Here at Mission, you get the rust colored, you get a yellow colored, and you get a great picture. But that's in a 3-frame burst, and in a matter of seconds, the light flickers. But yeah, the football players don't like the flash.
No, nobody does. Yeah. Who would like the flash? So you got to like figure it out. All the more reason to get people to support you. All the more reason to be able to support you enough to buy the right equipment that you can take
yeah.
you know better pictures
I,
with for
I,
that for sure.
So when AG went to CIF, what is Brett's second year now? Vanderveen, that era.
Was that the Chris Brown team that they played when they played Chris Brown? That
it could be.
Do
down at Sierra?
You were at no Chris Brown went to Dominguez I think
but
or
they,
some
but
up
they here.
Here. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so. It started out one guy, a good friend of mine, David Garcia. You know, I'm shooting a 70-20, and I said, you know, I'd really like to rent a lens for this.
You're on like a 70-200 2.8.
Yeah.
Right.
Just a
which,
small lens.
Which is
you know?
A small
you know?
Lens. It's the one I shoot with all of the time at games. But
so I was just messing around with a friend. I said, you know, I'd like to rent this lens for this big championship game. And he made a post on Facebook. I got $20 to help Ray. And I'd say within 4 hours, I had the $400 to rent the thing. From all the parents, and you know, it was just great. The support is incredible.
Once you shoot with a good lens,
yeah,
then you get a little bit greedy about it too. I got to shoot with a 300 2.8 at a soccer game this year, and it was like, whoa, this is like, okay, now I have. I always think that I have everything I need, and then I think about, oh, I could do this maybe, and it's yeah. Different.
The grass isn't always greener on this side.
it's true.
But renting that lens made me realize that the 400 was too big, and I was.
Is that what you rented, a 400?
Right. So basically it was, I was in the end zone and you give me the 40 yard line on the other side of the 50, and
right.
That's where I was good at. Right. Sometimes it was a little close.
Right. So you have to kind of play with that. And right. I think that's part of what people understand as well. But part of being like, I think, you know, the guy, I mean, and you're busy enough that I can call you the guy in South County for, you know, if parents want their kids to, you know, if the parents want pictures of their kids,
Parents always want pictures, but
one funny thing, I'm just going to say this, is that if you don't probably already know Ray may not have time to go shoot your parents, your kids either. You know, and that's kind of a funny thing, you know, as well, cause you're so slammed all the time now, right?
Well, graphics takes up most of my day. Like I said,
so that's your actual, like, that's your day job.
I do graphics for the Cow Palace in San Francisco, down to my best friends that put on the Long Beach Tattoo Expo. I do a little bit of everything, and I have my clients around. Yeah.
And that includes, like, programs. That includes any kind of graphic design, logos, any of that, right?
Right. And it's just, that keeps me busy. So my get out of my office is to go photograph. I love this time of year. I truly enjoy on the way home from a soccer game, from Cal Poly Soccer, where the windows are rolled down and it's still warm out. It's just, there's something about it. I love, you know, the camera has taken my son and I places like you wouldn't believe.
To
the dugout with Robin Ventura, to inside the locker room with Joe Calero and the boys. When I first started shooting, I pulled my son out of school in the third grade and brought him up here to photograph the freshman for the Cal Poly basketball team. Well, that was, you know... Amaris Furman, Will Donahue, Will Taylor, yeah. All the boys. And, yeah. You know, I have pictures of Race in the locker room with them. Right. And they have always been great to him. And the camera has got us into some places.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, when you have, how do I put it in the right way? You put in the time, you put in the work, you figure out how to do good work. And then all of a sudden you're like, for me, all of a sudden I was in the dugout well at a Dodger game in spring training,
yeah.
Or in the Dodger locker room interviewing, you know, AJ Ellis a couple years ago. Yeah. And you say to yourself, like, oh, okay. Like this is pretty neat.
Yeah.
And being in San Luis Obispo, you know, if I was in LA, I could, you know, aspire to that and it would be easier and it would maybe be even a little less satisfying, but being up here on the Central Coast, you know, again, I come back to like the relationships thing. And knowing people and the community that you're in and in South County and being a guy who grew up in Cayucas, I don't really have a great picture for I never went to Avila Beach. I just went to the beach in Cayucas, right? Like there was no reason to go past San Luis unless you were playing a game or something like that. So living in San Luis now for the last, I don't know, 5-8 years, you know, being able to see a little bit more in terms of the community in South County and the close-knit community that AG really, you know, can be and is, and somebody like you who takes pictures of has taken pictures for essentially a generation and a half now of kids that have come through AG High School, for instance, and been able to see that, you know, it becomes like I mean, you're a fixture there now.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
No, I'm watching the kids I started with. Garrett Owens, Brent Vanderveen, all the boys up at Oregon State, Seth Jacobs at Oklahoma State. I better get that.
Those were good teams,
right.
At AG.
Yeah, they. That's the year they won the championship, CIF. Uh-huh. And I'm watching them on TV and watching, you know, Garrett. Good kid, great kid,
yeah.
Very good role model to my son. I'm
watching
him just excited to be the starting kicker for Oregon State.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's great watching him grow up. I wasn't into sports when I...
You weren't?
No, not at all.
Okay, so that wasn't your deal.
No, not at all. I, you know, back, I'm older, you know, there's other things to do, and it wasn't sports. So, You know, I was into cars and motorcycles, yeah. And you know, I grew up at the Oceano Beach, worked for the ATC rentals, ATC, you know.
Okay.
It's not ATV, ATC, that's the three-wheelers, so I'm okay. dating myself again, yeah. But yeah.
Nice.
And it's just,
yeah,
it's weird to watch the kids grow up. I'm watching them all go through.
As your son has gotten older, has it become anything that you say, man, I just want to put the, are there ever any games that you want to set up in the stands?
It's hard for me to sit up in the stands. It's too far away. Yes, we're used to courtside everything.
I was at the NCAA tournament, sitting right behind the, you know, right behind the bucket. Like there's nothing like that, and you can't match it, right?
No, you can't match that. Sorry.
Did some kid just walk by and mug at you? Well, in the window?
I mean, that's Angel Sanchez. Right. I've been shooting him since he was 7 years old. Right. You know,
and yeah.
It's just great to watch these kids grow up. You know.
So sitting in the bleachers, hard for you to think about that?
Can't be done. It's we went to the Giants game for spring training. We did the spring training. Uh-huh. It's a yearly family thing. Uh-huh. We sat out in left field for the Giants game. I had the 300 millimeter, but I had to walk around. I can't do it. I can't sit still at a game. Yeah. And that's just.
You probably used to be able to, maybe at some point. Yeah.
But you get numb butt, you know?
Yeah, no. And when you're used to being up and around, when you're used to, you start looking at the game through the camera lens always.
Always. I'm used to the 1-inch square that I see, that I'm looking to see how the lighting's working, how, what exposure do I need to get this to be great.
Yeah. And
I'm looking at the coach's reaction. I'm watching different player reactions. What's the bench doing?
You know, I was watching a soccer game on TV, a Cal Poly soccer game against UCLA on TV the other night, and the announcer made some call about, like, you know, he said, like, I don't know why so-and-so was so mad. I think Justin Dillon got fouled, didn't, you know, or got pushed. The ref didn't call it. Dillon went and fouled the other guy kind of out of frustration, and then he was, you know, angry at the ref. And the guy said, you know, I don't know why Dillon was angry at the ref. That was clearly a foul. And I'm thinking to myself, is this guy even paying attention? Like, visually, I don't know that I got kind of like, doesn't everybody like pay attention to things as much as I do? Maybe not. Maybe that's just something that you develop. And maybe that's part of being like a photographer for sports
too. On the side of the field, you watching, because I'm following the ball. I'm seeing those battles that end up being yellow cards and red cards. You see the little things that piss each player off, and the other player retaliates, and that's what the ref sees. So you miss the first one. I'm watching it on TV or sitting up at the stands. Yeah, it's comfortable, but you're in the game with the lens, and that's what I enjoy. Yeah. I'm a little Miss Elise Krieghoff, you know. Yeah.
2 years ago, I can picture when she first came on the scene.
You know, she's very low-key, very, very nice young lady, but you put her in the heat of the battle and don't piss her off, you know? I've seen, not intentionally, elbow a girl, but it's just she's going for the ball, and that girl's nose was in the way.
Mackenzie was that way too, right?
Yeah, so it's...
More kids mugging at you. So I wanted to say too, because like I talked to other media guys about this kind of concept, because, you know, we started a blog, and people could have been not as cool as they were to us when I first started showing up at games. People were always like super cool to me, at least you know, in talking with them. People like JD Scroggin, people like you know, even like Bill Halter came on my podcast. You know,
I've learned a lot from your podcast. Oh. My son is a three ball kid. Okay, I learned a bunch about Waz that I did not know from your podcast.
Which part didn't you know?
Just his background. You know, his hometown background. You know, I missed his Cal Poly days. I just some of the stories. You know.
Yeah, I mean, he was amazing at Cal Poly.
But I've got to know Waz over the. My son's been in there since he was 8, and he's still there in high school. He's a freshman in high school, but he's still there. Waz is part of his basketball and great mentor for my
part of his growing up. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. There's a lot of great people in this community. Waz being, you know, all these people who were so cool about either coming on the podcast or being, you know, what, you know, being just, you know, there if I had a question or whatever. And they didn't have to be, because they could have seen you know, a stupid blog as competition or whatever too. And that was something I always appreciated. So I can tell this story on the air, and I might've told it to people before, but you know, when I was we kind of described it a little bit before, when I came and I had this camera that I didn't know, you know, I didn't know what was what, or, you know, it was like a Celebrity Jeopardy question. I felt like, you know, everyone that I should have known, and I just didn't have a clue about, you know, whenever I got my camera too, I, you know, I had just like, what mode do I shoot in? Right. What, you know, how do I think about this?
And I helped you. Did I help you?
Yeah. Ray helped me. Ian Billings from Mustang Daily or Mustang News now. You know, he was like a freshman or sophomore, probably like, who is this guy, you know, coming up to me and talking to me about like, But I tried to like get as much information as I could, and I went and took a class too, which was maybe like the single most helpful thing as well in Los Osos at a place called Light Workshops that was really great for me. Did a lot for me in terms of like understanding how to shoot in manual.
I just read.
And YouTube is a great resource.
Well, the blogs. There's Mark Rebellius. He's a sports photographer for USA Today.
Yep.
And he posts his pictures, but he puts his settings below his pictures. And that's what would force me to go out of my comfort zone and go try this. And that's what really helped me get the threads on the ball.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta like be willing to do that. So I guess my point is everybody was super cool. Like you were super cool to me, and thanks. Ian was super cool to me.
Close-knit family at Poly. There's the group of us that cover it, you know, from Joe Johnson making fun of me because I'm always in shorts, you know. He's freezing out there in his jacket and gloves with his finger cut out. Why are you in shorts?
Because it's hot out here and because I'm moving.
Bill Halter just texted me the other day. Dude, you should come out here. You'll fit perfect with shorts.
God, you would bake. So I used to live in Florida. And when I was like in my early 20s and I was in a lot better shape. And I used to cover games for high school football. I'd cover it for the paper when I was writing for the local paper out there. So I'd travel with the team, and I'd be walking up and down the sidelines doing my stats because I didn't want to sit up in a muggy press box. And I'd got bit up. There's bugs all over my legs. Just the whole time, I'd at halftime I'd go like spray myself with off. The players would borrow my my bug spray and spray themselves. Like it was a crazy scene down there, man. That Florida scene is something else. But you're right.
It was funny. He just texted me.
You would love it down here with shorts. Me
because we're having a cold spell and I'm in shorts. Yeah. But that's I feel comfortable kneeling down because
and knee pads. I gotta take your lead with that one.
I think the knee pads insulate my knees so I don't get cold from the shoes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you have knee pads on and it's cold, you're fine, man. So in terms of, like, the community thing, I just want to come back to that. That's, like, been, like, the thing, and we'll be done in a second here. But that was the thing that I guess was really nice for me because our website wasn't always, like, meant as like a Cal Poly blog when it started. I think we were just kind of writing about whatever we wanted to with sports, and I went out to Cal Poly to see how things were. And I think when you like being somewhere enough, when people are cool enough to you, whether it's Jivo, whether it's Burdick, I mean, guys who are like, who know what's going on. I mean, Eric covered me in high school. So when I was in high school in the late 90s, Eric was the sports editor at the Tribune.
You know,
yeah.
Recently, you know, not recently, but been there for a few years.
Jivo found old papers, old newspapers in their office that had a CIF championship game that I played in, and I fouled out and got a technical, and we lost. I think when I was it wasn't a CIF. It was a state champ. It was a state playoff game. It was my last game I ever played as a high school senior, and I fouled out. I got a technical at some point in there. Like there was some stuff, and Jivo, like, you know, he texted me to like razz me about it. He's like, I got a newspaper here for you.
I saw you post that. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
My stuff started with the way I got my into Poly was Mark Amaral. I showed up to a Five Cities basketball clinic, you know, hosted by Cal Poly, met Mark. This is the first year of Joe Clara, Mark Amaral. Uh-huh. Mark Amaral walks up and says, hey, my youngest son's in the front row. Will you take a picture? You know, I was doing the league a favor by stopping by, taking some pictures as I'm...
You were going out of your way and doing and rolling the dice and taking a lottery. Well, I mean, every time you shoot, I think, as a photographer who shoots the way that you do, every time it's like a lot. It's like, you know, picking a lottery ticket and hoping that people support you with it.
Well, yeah, it is picking a lottery ticket. You're hoping you're going to get that winning shot. There's some great shots. Just unbelievable. Sorry, I drew a blank.
No,
you are rolling the dice.
So Amaral, so you shot Amaral's kid.
I took a picture of Amaral, and the next weekend was the youth night at Cal Poly. I walked up to, my son had to go to the youth night, go see Cal Poly. It's our first game. I've never been there before.
This was Calero's first year.
Calero's first year. And we sit in the front row, talk to Mark Amaral, give him his disc of his pictures of his son. Next thing you know, I get Brian Thurman in my coming up to me, and he's handing me a sideline pass to Cal Poly to the basketball game that night, so I can go basically anywhere.
And you had your camera with you.
Oh, then. Yeah. Nice. My low budget, still learning camera.
No, and absolutely.
And sorry, it's okay. my phone's good. Going off.
You're a busy guy, man. That's the thing. Like people don't realize. So go ahead.
So Brian gives me this pass, and I shoot that night. And you know, we're in November. I think we're like right around Thanksgiving or whatever. I go home. I processed it, and my mother-in-law works the coffee at the library coffee shop. So I sent her with a disc, and she knows Brian, and I gave him the disc. So I get a call on Christmas Eve, and Brian says, "Hey, you know, your shots are great. Can you start shooting for us? You know, we need somebody. We have this amount of money to give you. Come shoot for us. You did great." And sure. So I interned.
So that's how you got through the basketball team.
Right.
Okay. So you didn't start shooting football till the year after that.
Coach Amaral.
Right. So you shot baseball probably that next year a little bit too, was it just basketball that year?
I knew Larry Lee because his son Brooks and Race were on a club baseball team. Uh-huh. Larry invited me a couple of times. That's very intimidating.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know, baseball's a little harder to shoot. You need the big lens for baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. It helps.
It's helpful.
You got to pay attention on the baseball field when you're down there. I shot the alumni game, and you know, that's the year I think Bud had just left. And it was fun.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. So way cool. Ray Ambler, like I said, he's the guy who you always see down there. He's got a goatee, super friendly guy. You could probably even say hi to him, although if you try to talk to him while he's shooting, he may not know where it's coming from. I think if you walk past him and say something, he might look around like 5 minutes later and kind of, did I hear something? Yeah. When you're focused, you're focused. We have the first Cal Poly football game coming up. And so, of course, I thought that would be a fun thing. I actually got to shoot him in South Dakota last week.
Didn't you get stuck on someplace? Was that you that got stuck playing? Or was that JD?
JD might have got stuck in his plane. Maybe a little delayed or something like that. Yeah. I went to a work trip in Cincinnati afterwards.
Oh, so you piggyback that.
Oh yeah, I always do. See, that's how I figure that out. Is I say, okay, I have a work trip here. I travel a lot for work, so right. I say I have a work trip. Let me schedule it on a Monday if I can. Let me look and see if there's a Cal Poly game that Saturday on the road. Oh, there happens to be. Okay, great. I can fly out and do that.
Chuck Fox.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm doing an interview. Sorry.
That's okay. No problem. No, you're good.
One of my son's old coaches.
Yeah. No, you're good. Absolutely. So
watch his son grow up too.
I think we can all actually kind of wrap up. I really appreciate you joining and look for Ray on the sidelines. If you want to look at Ray's pictures, if you want to check out Ray's pictures at Cal Poly or wherever, where should
RAphotos.com.
You go? RAphotos.com.
RAphotos.
Ray Ambler. Yeah, RA. Yeah. I really appreciate it, Ray.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Streetlights so bright they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue.